Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me by the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So welcome to the latest edition of the Northern Affinity Podcast. And for those who are watching this as a video, you probably see it's a little bit different to the usual. We're doing this in person, so it'll be different for the people on audio as well, actually. So yeah, we're doing it together. We're at one of the locations we use on a regular basis, Clockwise in Manchester. So hopefully you enjoy this slightly different version of the podcast. So for those, you'll have seen that the subject today is banter. And what is and what isn't banter, and what it's about. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Michelle. So Michelle, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Do you want to, before we kind of touch on this slightly thorny subject, I'm sure, just tell us a little bit about you and kind of frame the conversation.
Fab, thanks, Mike. So my name is Michelle Holloway. I have a HR consultancy called With You HR. My background has always been in HR and people space for about 18 years now. So, this is quite an interesting subject for me in terms of what is and isn't banter. Dealt with hundreds of disciplinaries in my time, so I thought this would be quite a good topic for us.
Yeah, and I think one of the questions I'll ask you actually is about banter and how that's changed. I'm sure for some of us of certain age, we'll know how much it has changed in the last probably 5 years, never mind 10, 15, but we'll go on to that in a minute. But I think the good place to start is, what is banter? In your, I suppose this is a bit of an opinion thing, but what is banter?
Yes, thanks, Mike. It's a really difficult one to answer, because banter tends to be a word that's bandied around in employment spaces when someone has said something to offend someone, and it's always badged up as it's just banter. It's a really tough one, because there's no definitive kind of definition around what that means, but actually it tends to be something that's quite emotive. So it's either using certain nicknames or words or things that could be deemed quite offensive, but you know, we're in a society where people are expected to joke things off and laugh about them. So it's a bit of a tough one to give a definitive, and that's why it's such an interesting subject, because for employers we know that it tends to be the excuse that's used when someone is held to account for their behavior.
Yeah, and I think just thinking about there, it's almost something that it's kind of two people, or more than two people, potentially have a different opinion. There's no black and white on what is. I think there's certain things that we could say, people would say in a workplace, and it's black and white, is wrong.
Yeah.
I think there is that. But I think often banter is, for some, whether it's they actually believe it's okay or they're saying it's okay, that's the difference, isn't it? There's some obvious things, but that seems to me what people term banter anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess in the HR space, the legislation that governs the employment relationship in this kind of scenario is the Equality Act. So the Equality Act came out in 2010, and it covers 9 protected characteristics, which are things like age, race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender reassignment, maternity, marriage or civil partnership. So it's very much akin to those elements that are protected for individuals, but we tend to see banter is where someone cites something about someone's age. There was a case quite recently talking about an individual in their performance appraisal with the manager. This individual was in the 50s, and the manager is alleged to have said, well, you're not 25 anymore. So straight away, if we're talking about black and white, that could be seen as age discrimination. Yeah. So it becomes then, actually, that's not banter. The manager said it was banter, but actually there's obviously a risk there for an employer that there's a protected characteristic there that's breached the Equality Act, and the manager is there as an ambassador for that employer. So by virtue of the manager saying something inappropriate in that meeting space, it's almost put the employer at risk.
No, that makes sense. And I think I wrote down here, because I think of an example in my early career that I was in a team of, we were all kind of early mid-20s, and there was a guy in our team who was probably late 30s, so he was obviously not that old. Well, I'm saying that as a 40-year-old man, he definitely wasn't old. But we used to call him the old man. And he used to refer to himself as the old man. Now, this is 15 years ago. Hopefully no one took offence to that then. Maybe it's different now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, again, that would have been termed banter at that time.
Yeah.
I think he would have agreed, knowing him, but other people might not.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because it's if everyone's in agreement, then there's no complaint there. There's no case to answer, almost, because no one's going to bring that complaint if they're the individual that's actually complicit and happy to have that conversation. But that's why it's so important that employers understand their liabilities on actually what their employees are saying and doing, and, you know, that banter space. You know, we want everyone to enjoy being in the workplace, but at the same time, there are certain things that, you know, we just don't cross the lines. But it's really hard to define that when, like you say, in some circumstances, everyone agrees with or not agrees with, but will kind of be involved in that conversation.
Yeah, and I guess the one question I was going to ask you is, how do we know where the line is?
Yeah.
And thinking about that more, you just said there is, actually, the line could be in workplace A and workplace B. The line could be of a different place.
Yeah.
So this is probably quite a stereotypical example, but I'll use it for my simple explanation. But if you're on a building site and it's all male,
mm-hmm.
There's probably a line traditionally. And then if you're in an office, which is mixture of male and female and different ages, there's people 18 there, there's people 65 there. There's all sorts of different characteristics, races, everything like that. Is, from a HR point of view, is the line different?
So in answer to that question, no, the line isn't different. However, again, it's if you have got, and it's absolutely stereotypical that you might have a trade or a building site where it's more likely to be male, there's less likely to be a complaint, because those individuals would probably share similar characteristics and therefore agree on I guess those opinions of other people.
Yeah.
And the risk of it is always where there's a complaint. So the banter piece is almost, it doesn't really exist until someone's not happy with it. But absolutely, the world is moving on. A lot of employers would have equality and diversity policies, and I would encourage them to. And as part of that, I would expect to see that spread of a diverse workforce. So you wouldn't, just because you run a building site, wouldn't mean that all your employees are male. But unfortunately, we do still see that in some certain industries.
And I guess there's probably potentially a bigger danger in those environments, because, again, if it was very typical building site, the things that we expect might be said there, it's probably more extreme than would be in the office example I give you, actually. It might be something that's just someone's just taking it a little bit too far, whereas actually it could be quite bad things have been saying. So if there is a person there who didn't feel comfortable saying, look, I'm not happy with you saying that, for whatever reason that might be, actually the outcome,
the
could be worse. The consequences is the right word, could actually be worse potentially, because I would imagine in most places, that my experience is that there's always lines being pushed by people. Probably we all do it in social examples and everything like that, and it probably stops at a certain point in, like, stereotypical office environment. It might not stop until it gets to quite a far level. I'm not labelling everyone the same here. I'm just trying to use basic examples, but is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. And again, from an employer's perspective, you are liable for the actions of your employees. So I would certainly say, you know, in those types of scenarios, that regardless of whether or not people are offended, you should have checks in place and certain things in place so that actually you catch that before it ever develops. Because you're absolutely right, you might have an all-male workforce and there's a lot of banter related to sex.
Yeah.
And then one female may join the workforce. How comfortable that individual feel about raising that?
Yeah.
And actually the results and the consequences could be catastrophic, because it's linked to a protected characteristic. So it's not just that individual feels uncomfortable under legislation, anything protected, so anything that's discriminatory basically is uncapped at an employment tribunal. So okay. If an individual wanted to take their employer to a tribunal for something that happened in the workplace related to one of those protected characteristics, arguably that award for the employer would be uncapped as well. So okay. I'd encourage any employer to make sure they've got the right policies in place, be that equality and diversity, grievance policies, bullying and harassment policies, and be really clear about what is and isn't acceptable behaviour.
I guess it's prevention is cheaper than the cure, yes. Type of stuff, isn't it? And you might have an environment now and you've got a great team and everything's just, you know, fine, but it, like I said, it only takes one example,
it does.
Or somebody and change, you know, every workplace dynamic's changing all the time. Yeah. People leave, people join, mm-hmm. They grow, they shrink, everything like that. So putting that in place as soon as you can wouldn't make sense.
Absolutely. And we talk about cost there, and that's what most employers want to hear because it hits their wallet ultimately. But I think the other aspect of that is, as you described it there, it's that cultural piece. So you want to have that candidate attraction. You want to bring people into your business. If you've got a culture that's very inclusive, you know, has a diverse workforce, people from all different backgrounds, race, religion, sexual orientation, it just make for a better culture. And ultimately, you would be seen as an employer of choice. Whereas I think in that example that you talked about, if it's an all-male environment, heavily dominated by men, how attractive is that for women to enter the workforce?
Yeah, and I guess there's kind of following on from that, what you've said there is about how times are changing, times are moving. They always have, obviously. But how, you know, I've been in the workforce for going towards 20 years now, and I know what I could say and what would be said 20 years ago now has changed so much. Mm-hmm. So how important is it? Because I know we talked about this before. I think often the excuse for people is, well, I've always said this.
Yeah.
So that's all right. You know, how important is it that area is discussed and understood? And it's an education piece.
Yeah, and I think I would also encourage all employers to have some clear equality and diversity training in place. So, again, we'll talk about what hits employers' wallets and what's more important, but actually training all of your employees up front to understand the Equality Act, what that means for them as individuals, what those protected characteristics are, what is and isn't acceptable, is much better to put that in place up front and demonstrate in terms of a defence that you've got those things in place. But also, again, to create that culture where people feel they can address things that are unacceptable, that they can talk about. Actually, that made me feel uncomfortable. And you touched on there, Mike, about things that might have been okay 20 years ago, might not be okay now. And there are things like microaggressions that we talk about. So that is where things are said because of someone's sort of protected characteristics. So it might be a nickname that pertains to a certain race or religion, that wouldn't be seen as acceptable. And although it might be common terminology that people understand, actually it can be seen as quite an aggressive way of speaking about individuals. So again, I would advise that employers educate their employees on that so that they don't fall foul of that.
Yeah, because I guess that's the other thing I just thought then, as an employer, so you know, let's say there is a nickname for someone, for whatever reason they're using that, and that person who's currently in the workforce might be all right with that. It might absolutely never be a problem. But if someone else with similar characteristics then joins and his isn't, and then again, it goes back to the argument, well, I've done it, said it before. Yeah. And that's where I guess it needs to be nipped in the bud.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think you can almost draw a line at this point and say, actually, we might have accepted certain things. We'll no longer accept them going forward because, again, prevention is better than a cure. So I'd try and draw that line now and make it really clear what is and isn't acceptable.
Yeah, and I guess there's the how of this, because they use that as a scenario. You've got someone that worked in the business 25 years, they've worked with somebody for 25 years, and they've called them this nickname. And obviously there's a danger of the way you approach that.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to say to someone is, you've been wrong for 25 years, because I think defence mechanism come on. How could you what would be the best ways to approach that conversation? Yeah. How would you advise people to approach that?
Yeah, I think it's about just being really open and honest. You're right, things have changed, times have changed. So, you know, we almost talk as well in the world of employment law and HR that we can't just, something that wasn't wrong last week can't all of a sudden be wrong. So you can't start taking really formal action when you've been complicit and allowed something to happen previously. But it is almost that draw the line point to say, actually, you know, we might have gone down this route previously. We just want to draw a line, make sure everyone's clear on what's expected going forward, and put some of those things in place. You know, there's no harm in saying we want to roll out equality and diversity training to everyone. Lots of e-learning platforms will have that as an off-the-shelf product, which you can tailor to your business. So a lot of employers choose to do it that way, make sure everyone's inducted in the right way. Any existing workforce go through that process. And the other thing I would say is make sure that there are clear policies in place. So grievance policies, obviously if an employee does have a complaint, they need to understand how they can follow a structured complaints process. Some employers choose to have a separate bullying and harassment policy as well as the grievance policy. Don't necessarily have to, but it just give an extra layer of actually we won't tolerate behaviour. And interestingly, in that same as the banter definition, bullying is about how the person perceives that. So it's never about what has said necessarily, but it's about how it's received by the person on the end of that. So again, it's not a one size fits all. What might feel acceptable to one person doesn't mean that it's acceptable to another. So it's making sure you've got all those layers in up front, so you've got the right policies in place, the right trainings provided. If there are things going on now that you need to have a tough conversation about, then it's making sure that's done in an open fashion and brings everyone together collaboratively.
Well, I think that's the thing that I was thinking, because you don't want it to be confrontational.
No.
You don't want people to put people's back up, because what potentially, and this is, I suppose, it's within HR, but it's more of a culture within the business. Yeah. What you don't want is almost people to then start taking sides because, that person doesn't like me saying that, and the people, and maybe the friends of that person almost divide off into one group of people. And actually what you then get is it's happening, but it's happening in secret.
Yeah.
The stuff which, in these smaller silo groups, which is potentially worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's really important. That how is that dealt with, and not it's not made a bigger deal than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the balance, isn't it? And that's absolutely managerial. That's that's where you're earning your money, I guess, doing it that way. And I would imagine that there's no one true answer for that, because it's knowing the personalities as well involved.
Yeah.
Certain people, it might be you go out for a pint with them at lunchtime and just have a quiet word in the pub, or it might be sat in a meeting room and often, you know, again, it's knowing that person, isn't it? I think that's so important.
Yeah.
It's the culture of the business needs to be maintained as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talk about culture, and it's a real tough one because it's intangible, we can't necessarily define what that is. However, you will see so many company value statements talking about openness and integrity and transparency. So I think it's really important to bring all of those key values into those conversations with individuals and acknowledge, you know, where we were at one point is not where we are now, and make it really clear what isn't acceptable. And you're right, that might be a less formal conversation. The one word of caution I always have is, try to document things, because sometimes things go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then when someone wants to do something more formally or want to potentially take formal action against an employee, managers or employers will always say to me, we've told them before, but there's no record of that. It makes it a lot harder. However, you're absolutely right. You need to understand people's personalities and kind of think how you tackle those conversations to make sure that people still engaged, because the last thing you want to do is disengage everyone.
Well, absolutely. Now, next subject, social media.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's so much you could go on this one. I think one of the byproducts of the social media world that we live in now is that everything's black and white. So a person who doesn't want to hear a certain term or a nickname or whatever it is would be labelled a snowflake or other things by other people. So, talk to me about social media and banter, because obviously that's potentially happening outside physically the workplace, but it still matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right, social media is everywhere. We can't escape it. We've all got smartphones. The one thing I would say is, as an individual and an employee, my advice would be never post anything that you wouldn't be happy with your employer seeing. So just to kind of add a bit of flavour to that, ultimately, if you've got a Facebook profile and it says where you work on that Facebook profile, arguably you're posting on behalf of that business. So you need to be really clear that actually whatever you post is, again, done with integrity, done in good faith, and you're not using discriminatory language or terminology that isn't acceptable. You know, we also see lots of people getting into kind of arguments online. We see the cancel culture. I think it's really important that people understand that actually social media, such as things like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, they're not closed down. You know, even if you've got a closed profile, it's quite easy to see things. So I wouldn't advise people posting, because as an employer, you can take formal action. So if one of your employees has got it plastered all over their Facebook page that they work for you, and then they use language that isn't acceptable, that reflects badly on the business. So the employer then is well within the rights to take formal disciplinary action. Other types of social media that you maybe don't think of as social media are things like WhatsApp group chats. So as an employer as well, if those individuals, if you've got a work WhatsApp group chat, you are vicariously liable as the employer for anything that goes on in that WhatsApp chat. So again, like you say, you might physically be away from the workplace. It might be a weekend football game that there's lots of banter, you know, on a WhatsApp chat group. But ultimately, if things take a turn in that group and people are not happy about it, then actually you as the employer are still responsible for what goes on in that chat. So again, it's just understanding that and knowing that, because the world of social media, as we know, is really difficult to navigate. And it might be physically outside the workplace, but a lot of businesses these days don't necessarily have a physical workplace.
No, so. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it's such a minefield of this, isn't it? And I mean, an example, so we're recording this towards the end of December, and as we speak, the big kind of news story at the moment is Jeremy Clarkson's article about Meghan Markle. Now, you know, how would it stand in a workplace? So let's say it was done as a tweet, what he put, and I retweeted that. Mm-hmm. No comment, no nothing. But obviously, there would be some people say it's only banter. There's probably the majority of people who would say, at worst, that is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So how would that stand? And what would need to be done purely from a HR point of view on that? Because it's someone else's view.
Yeah.
But are you legitimizing that? Are you saying you agree with that by doing that?
Yeah. And that's a really tough one, because like you say, if you retweeted it without any context, you know, I've seen it retweeted millions of times this week. And people might say this is disgusting, but people might say full on agree with him. I think it's then really difficult to, if there's no context, to say where you're
you could be retweeting it because you're disgusted by it.
Yeah,
that'd be the argument for someone.
But there's no harm in having a conversation with someone. So if you saw that as an employer, and again, Mike, say you had an employer and they saw that and said, oh, well, actually, you know, you've got posted all over your Twitter feed, I'm showing my age. You know, I work for Northern Affinity, for example. It would feel very, very much like that's a view of the Northern Affinity, and therefore need to understand that conversation, that context, you know, why you retweeted it. Was it with the intent of, because I'm fully in agreement with this, in which case, again, it's all very opinion driven, but, you know, I think the majority are seeing that was an inappropriate thing to say. And potentially it pertains to Meghan Markle being female as well, which obviously, you know, wouldn't be seen as appropriate under the Equality Act. So I think there's definitely a conversation there to understand the context of that, what was meant by the retweet, and then should it come out in that conversation that it's something more serious, the intent behind why you've retweeted that, then maybe formal action might follow.
Okay. So one last question on kind of the whole social media, I guess, WhatsApp thing. So if I'm in a WhatsApp group with my friends, or you are either, and something is sent that might be deemed offensive or inappropriate, you know, and I leave my phone out on the desk there and an image pops up, shall we say.
What are you doing, Mike, in your own time?
I'm using an example of someone else, but I also know I've got dodgy friends. So if that appeared I was in a workplace, how would that play out? Because are you responsible for that, even though, you know, again, it's not you, but it's there, and someone who's seen it on your desk is offended by that?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because it's not directed at anyone, and it's not necessarily in the context of that workplace, I guess you'd need to understand it. Again, it always starts with a conversation to understand the nature of what had happened, why it had happened. If your phone was out on the desk, how visible was it? Why was the phone on the desk? You know, what has it not got a lock on it? And all those kind of things. That feels for me very much intangible in terms of, would I say that was appropriate in the workplace? You know, is it, I'm assuming it's not a work phone, by the way. If it was a work phone, that might be slightly different. If it's your personal phone and it's there, it might just be a conversation to say, actually, be really mindful that your personal stuff isn't on view for anyone else. But if someone has seen that and been offended and, you know, raised a complaint, then, you know, by all means, you would probably have conversations with people who were around to understand exactly what had happened. If you were, you know, showing it to everyone, then arguably that, you know, kind of just become a conduct issue for you.
Well, is that the probably the best? I don't know if it happens much anymore. So not being a workplace anymore is the email stuff. Yeah, you know, someone gets a funny email. It's a bit like the scene from The Office, the American Office, isn't it? It happens in that. But someone gets something, and again, it just copies the whole office into it. It's kind of like. Like I said, I don't know if that still happens so much, but that's kind of a more extreme version of that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, it's always through that lens of, would I be comfortable with my employer seeing this? Because you're right, I mean, many years ago when you were in a workplace and people used to do those forward emails all the time, and, you know, I don't remember any specifically that were for banter purposes, but I'm sure if we look back on a time that's passed now, you would think actually some of those might be quite offensive.
Yeah, because and often they're in response to an event of some sort, wouldn't they? So something's happened.
Well, it's like the meme of kind of 2022, isn't it? And that tends to happen on WhatsApp chats. The one thing I would say as well, and I touched on it there, is if you're using company property, so if it's a work laptop or a work email address or a work phone, then again, the employer's vicariously liable for that. So having a good, strong social media policy in place that explains what can and can't be done on a work PC or a work phone is also a good defence for an employer. Because if an employee breaches it, then at least you can reference that there was something in place to begin with. If they've taken it upon themselves to breach it, that liability just shifts slightly.
Yeah, and I've seen quite a few examples this over the last few years of people who posted something they shouldn't have posted, offensive on whatever social media platform, and then they've been sacked basically for it. And you see people, well, they shouldn't be sacked for that, it's their personal thing. And I've even seen where someone put a tweet out, I can't remember what it was about now, but it wasn't nice, but their employee wasn't on there, but you could work out, basically you could find them on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
and then LinkedIn, obviously, generally people have their business on there, so it wasn't even directly on there, so you can't feel like you're actually protected just because you don't mention, because it's, you know, you might have the same profile picture or you know, it's pretty obvious it's you, isn't it? So that needs to be thought about as well. It's not just because there's not certain platforms that you can do it on and certain platforms you can't, because you can easily be found.
Yeah, absolutely. So
basically just don't do it. It's probably the easiest response, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, it's would you be happy with your employer seeing it? And, you know we live in the world of social media. So as much as you think you might have a close profile, we all probably use the same pictures for things, or we use the same logins for things. So it's quite clear, you know, we've all got a kind of digital footprint, if you like. Yeah. So just being really mindful of that in everything that you do. And also as an employer, then making sure that you've got the right policies in place to catch any of that. So a social media policy, an IT policy that talks about what your systems can and can't be used for.
Fine. Yeah. So one last question for me then, and it kind of, if someone's watching and they've got employees and they're wanting to make sure they protect themselves, I guess, more than anything else, is what are the kind of common issues that arise, I know we've covered some of them in kind of general detail, but you know, if they were going to do something now just to keep an eye on things, be aware of things, what are the kind of common things that you experience that lead to issues?
Yeah, I think probably the things that we've already touched on, I think it's thinking about any media that you've got, any sort of social channels, things like WhatsApp groups, etc. Making sure you put things in place up front. So making sure that there are the right policies in place, that the right training is given. Managers are ambassadors for the business. So if you're a business owner, but you've got a group of managers who then kind of your staff report to, making sure those managers understand that actually any actions they take are on behalf of the business. So train the managers up, make sure the managers are trained, make sure they understand their responsibilities in terms of what can and can't be said. And I also think it's this, I get asked this a lot, what can I say, what can't I say? And I think a lot of it is common sense, but then also that's not how everyone sees things.
Common sense is not always that common.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we talk about things like the protected characteristics and discrimination. That's ingrained in me because it's everything I've done. But you're absolutely right. There will be some people who 20 years ago in a workforce, certain words and language was acceptable and it's not now. So that's why I think that training is really important. But I also think just being really mindful of treating people fairly and thinking about your equality and diversity, how you make a workforce really inclusive and have that that culture that really represents what you want, which is a really diverse workforce where everyone gets their input heard, everyone feels valued for all the different things they bring as well. So it's not just, you know, if it's a certain way or not at all. It's everyone is diverse. We all have different backgrounds. We all come from different experiences, but make sure that feels really valued for all employees.
And that's important, isn't it? Being aware that your employees come from different backgrounds. So actually it's not just the people on the end of the banter, should we say, that, you know, if you cut people from certain environments, that they'll know a certain way, and it's not to castigate them. It's educating. And I think if people are common sense for saying actually that, you know, let's not do this moving forward and do it in the right way, it probably stops the vast majority of the issues. Now, you can't stop everyone because people are people, and there's always going to be some people who won't listen. Unfortunately,
no. It keeps me busy.
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah, and that's going to happen. Yeah. You can't. I guess that's the other thing, isn't it? You can't. But as long as you've protected yourself as much as you can, and sure that you're doing that. But again, actually, probably 99% of the time, any case that's come to a problem around the banter probably could have been stopped at source, if you like.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And you touched on it there. It's that education piece. I think it's, you know, we may have come from a time where certain things are acceptable, but they're not now. So it's just making sure all employees are trained in the right way, are given access to the right policies, that the right things are in place to prevent. And 99% of the time that will work. And you'll probably get that 1% who maybe aren't acting in good faith anyway, in which case it makes it a lot easier to take formal action if someone has done something to upset someone else for the wrong pleasure.
Absolutely. So finally, if anyone wants to kind of get a hold of you, find out a little bit more about what you do, we'll put all the details in the show notes, whether you're watching this YouTube or on the podcast platforms, but where's the best places for you?
Mainly LinkedIn. So I'm on LinkedIn. The company's With You HR. So we have a company LinkedIn page and I'm on there personally. So you'll be able to find me on there. I'm always checking DMs, etc. So just give me a shout if you'd like any help.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Thank you. Thank you for everyone for watching. I'd be really interested to know, like, feedback in terms of, obviously, like any episode we do, but also the format of doing this in person as well. See if people enjoyed that. It's obviously, rather than having our faces on the screens close up in the room. So I'd be interested to know for those who are watching on video, but also people listening as well, because I would imagine there's a little slightly different dynamic to that as well. So any feedback, we'd love to hear. So thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.